Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of Nahum chapter 2, we were talking about the total destruction God can do to those who oppose Him. Let's continue with that today. There is nothing in Satan's arsenal that can stop the Lord when he moves in judgment. There's no power in the universe that's too hard for him, for he sets the course of the stars. He sets the bounds of the oceans and the rivers, and the winds are in his hand. It reminds us of Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. And when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. This fortress of infamy, noted for its cruelty to people, they, as a conquered people now, or will be a conquered people, will see what they did to others when they conquered them, doing the most unimaginable to the bodies, and living the most depraved of lives. But their city shall be completely eliminated, as hell one day. It shall be a testament to God that God is holy, and vengeance belongs to the Lord forever. Oh, this formidable foe, and the fortress of infamy. But now let's look at the fatal fall here in verse 6. The gates of the rivers shall be opened, and the palace shall be dissolved. The palace dissolved. Now all men will be able to answer the question, is anything too hard for God? Because they thought this would be impossible to defeat this foe. But now they find out nothing is too hard for God. The gates of the river shall be opened, we're told. And the palace shall be dissolved. What's that about? The palace dissolved? The place of their confidence, the place of their trust, finds that God opens the gates of heaven, and the flood of a water comes, and it is dissolved. What man couldn't do, God does. God destroyed the very place of their confidence. They thought of it as their strength. But don't forget, they had already taken some of the Jews, God's people, into captivity from the northern tribes. Of course, God allowed that because they had turned their back on God. And it reminds us of a New Testament warning, my friend, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, because these people turned their back on God that were Jews, and they ended up in captivity, and some very bad things happened to them at Nineveh. But listen to this in 1 Timothy 4, verses 17 through 19, when we also see the people of God, the saved people, where it says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore, Let him that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Why? For with God, nothing is impossible. Earlier, I had given this quote from A.W. Tozer, and I want to say it again. Worship is no longer worship when it reflects the world around us more than Christ within us. That is one reason judgment will begin at the house of God, because too many of the houses of God are with their rock and roll, with their entertainment, with their dress down, have no respect for God and His house. It will bring on the judgment of God. Judgment begins at the house of God. With churches, with pastors who are fulfilling Jude 4, when they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, although Galatians 4:13 says, use not grace for an occasion to the flesh, use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, and they teach turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, anything goes, anything's all right, because we're not under the law. Well, with the contemporary and the emerging church, with a society that lives for obtaining the material and loose from its morals in the local church, God must first judge us, my friend. Now, we live in an age of compromise, of weak, spineless Christianity that is seeking to pull us along with. We absolutely must develop the capacity to resist such a pull, no matter who else goes with them, no matter how isolated we get, no matter how tired we get of taking such a stand. We must. We just as absolutely must do this with a spirit of grace, cultivating a heart of love for those who are attacking us, that disagree with us, who belittle us, but never giving up on their souls. Don't be saved so as by fire, my friend. Don't be saved so as by fire. Terrible way to go. More than ever, we need men who will stand and then withstand the attacks of the devil. Even if he attacks through family, friends, or your job, you resist the attacks. You resist the philosophy and the appeal to the flesh. My friend, saved so as by fire is a terrible thing, but it is a trillion times better than being cast into that eternal fiery lake of fire where all hope is dissolved. Fire tormented day and night forever and ever with no escape, no ceasing to exist. You say, oh, but you don't know my sin. No, I don't. I really don't know your sin. But you see, I know that my God is greater than all of your sin. There is nothing impossible for God. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Come to him, he'll in no wise cast out. There is nothing too hard for God. He loves you. He died for you. He'll save you. He'll take the power from sin. Of sin from you as well as the penalty. But my friend, you must come to him. Now let's go on to verse 7. He says, and Hazor shall be led away captive. She shall be brought up, and her maid shall lead her as with the voice of doves tabering upon their breasts. Well, Nineveh is destroyed. It was the capital city for the Assyrian armies. It was the superpower of the day. Armies had tried to defeat it, but lost miserably. They tried to penetrate the walls only to their own destruction. And instead of Nineveh's destruction, they were destroyed. But God destroys Nineveh with a flood of waters. And it's so bad that even the enemy armies come and they finish the destruction of what is now a defenseless city of power. Now, I believe God gave these words to Nahum to not only show a soon coming destruction to the enemy of Israel, but also to jump the centuries of time to show the work of God in the coming judgment of the tribulation. The Antichrist will rise to power. The world will find he is a powerful ruler that is not overcome. They'll finally get to the point in which they say, who can make war with him? His walls of defense and powerful victory over the two witnesses of Revelation 11 will cause all the world to wonder after him. Now, I want us to know and to view this text with the following two Bible references kept in mind throughout this section of verse 7 now as we look at it. Romans 9, 28, 29. For he will finish the work and will cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. That's Sodom and Gomorrah, by the way. The work is short, but it's righteous, just as Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's fornicating sin and sodomy. In Revelation chapter 19, verses 19 and 20 tells us how God quickly removes the world leader who, along with his religious leader, made all the world to fear and wonder. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat upon the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. That's quick work, my friend. That was quick. That's the way the Lord, once he begins to move in judgment, it is usually a quick work. It is a short work. It's the same day work. The beast, this world leader, is destroyed with his false prophet. And the Lord's restoration of Israel begins. Now, as the people, the leaders, and all depended on their walls and superior military in Nineveh, so too the world will have confidence in this world leader. The Bible calls the beast, or Antichrist, usually calls him the beast most often. All their confidence is in them and their city.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation.